James chapter 2 this morning. James chapter 2, and when you found your place, if you would, stand with me, and we'll read from verse 14 through verse 26. James chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Right. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful to be gathered together this morning. We're grateful to be able to hold and to study the Word of God. And I pray that as I preach this message this morning, you would be glorified and that your people would be helped. Lord, I realize that there is a great apostasy that is settling in America. And those that may have classified themselves as Christians are leaving the faith in droves. Lord, they've come to a place where they no longer believe the Word of God. I pray that none of us would come to such a point. Amen. Where we lose the faith, where we give up on you, where we no longer strive to live our lives in harmony with the Word of God. So God, use this message to help us this morning to be steadfast, to be unmovable until the day that you call us home. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. This morning I want to preach on the subject of unbelief. And yet I've put the title of my message in the form of a question. And that question is, do you believe God? If I was to ask everyone that's sitting in the sanctuary this morning that question, do you believe God? I'm sure that nearly every one of you would answer it in the affirmative. You would say, right. Yes, right. I believe God. But do you? Do you really believe God? Do you believe everything He says? My hope this morning is that by preaching this message, we would examine our lives to see whether or not we are exhibiting faith, that is, a belief in God, in every area of life. Here in our text, in verse number 14, notice what it says. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? I interpret that last phrase to mean, can that type of faith save him? You know, I think sometimes Christians, especially those that are babes in Christ, are afraid to approach this passage of Scripture because it seems to contradict so many other plain scriptures that teach us that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in the person of Jesus Christ, apart from works. Yes, matter of fact, if you read Romans chapter 4, that's exactly what it says. Right. That God saves by grace without works. Mm-hmm. And yet this passage of Scripture to many seems to contradict those truths. But I don't believe it's a contradiction.
Amen, that's right.
Maybe a clarification.
Yes, sir.
The book of Romans, which tells us that we're justified by faith alone, is a very doctrinal book. Whereas the book of James is more practical. Many have likened it to the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. And so, doctrinally speaking, faith in Christ alone saves. But the book of James, in perhaps going further and clarifying, saying, but this faith that saves is a faith that produces something.
Amen.
Because it says, what does it profit? What does it profit? What good does it do for a man to say that he has faith and has no works? Can that kind of faith profit him? Does it do anything for him? Evidently not. If a man says, I believe God, I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and he lives like all of the rest of the sinners in the world, did that kind of faith that he's talking about do him any good?
Yes, sir.
Not a bit. And it gives this little illustration or example of what's being talked about. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, someone, they come into contact with you and they have no clothing to keep them warm, they have no food to put in their belly, therefore they're hungry, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? There's that same question. What doth it profit? What good did your words do to that man that was hungry and cold? They didn't do him any good.
Right.
Your words did not fill his belly. Your words did not warm his skin. All they were was words. Go and be full. Be warm. That's not going to do anything for his condition. They're just words. And then it says in verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. A faith that doesn't produce works is dead. In other words, it is not a genuine faith. It's
right.
Not real.
Right, sir.
In verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works.
Yes, sir.
Faith is believing God. I can't see your faith unless it's through your works.
Good. Amen. Right.
What you do and how you live your life. Thou believest, it says in verse 19, that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and they tremble. The devils believe in God. That's not sufficient to save someone, though, is it? To believe in the existence of God. That's a good start.
Sure.
Because God does exist. Because God spoke the worlds into existence.
Yes, sir.
It's a good place to start. But that God that spoke the worlds into existence, that one that keeps the world spinning.
Yep.
Is the one who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for the sins of the world. And it's only when you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that you can be saved. You can't be saved by just acknowledging the existence of God. He says in verse 20, But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? It's a dead faith. It's not a genuine faith, a faith that doesn't work. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Here again is another example of what's being discussed. When he had offered Isaac, Abraham, he offered up Isaac, his own son, upon the altar. And I know we talked about this recently in one of our Sunday evening services when we were dealing with the subject of salvation. Abraham, he was willing to offer up his own son Isaac. And what was so amazing about that is that he did something that was extremely hard for him to do. He did something that had to be against his nature, against his will, something that had to make him feel uncomfortable, something that had the potential to do him hurt. Why would he do something like that? Because he believed God.
Yes.
He believed God. He didn't walk around in unbelief. He believed God. And he demonstrated his faith in God by being willing to offer up his only son, the son through which God was to fulfill all of those promises he made to him.
Amen.
It also mentions Rahab in verse 25 and says, likewise, what also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? When the people of Israel crossed over into the land of Canaan, they were going to destroy the city of Jericho. And they sent the spies in advance to see the city and to how best to take it. And as they come into the city, Rahab came into contact with them and actually hid them. When others came and heard that the spies had come, they came to find them, she hid them. Until those within her nation's army left, and then she sent them out another way so that they could be safe. You know what? The Bible never tells us that Rahab, you know, when she got saved, when she got born again, when she got birthed into the family of God. We don't see that. But what we see is that she believed God.
Right. That's right, preacher.
How do we know that? Because you know what? She betrayed her own country. Betrayed her own country because she knew.
Right.
That God was going to allow Israel to destroy her city. She knew it. She believed it. Because God had revealed it 40 years prior. She remembered what happened when those people left Egypt. She knew how they crossed through the Red Sea when God parted it. She believed in the promises of God. That God was going to give her land to the nation of Israel. She demonstrated her belief in God by hiding the spies. Verse 26 then, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You know, if your spirit departs from your body has no life. It's dead. And if your faith has no works, your faith is dead as well. So the summary of this passage is this. Genuine faith will always produce works. If you believe God, then you'll obey God.
Right.
Cause and effect.
Sure.
If you believe God,
amen,
you'll obey God. And this passage, I don't believe, is given so that you and I would examine someone else's faith. Maybe even examine our faith and our lives and say, you know what, I don't see any works, I must not be saved. I don't see any works in their life, they must not be saved. No, I think the application of this text is this. If you say you're a child of God, if you say you believe God, then you need to act like it.
Right. Yes, sir.
You need to demonstrate it by the way that you live your life. Do you really believe God? You know, the people of Israel are spoken of in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 19. It says in that verse, so we see that they, the people of Israel, a portion of them, could not enter, that is, enter the land of Canaan because of unbelief. They came to the border of Canaan for the first time. God said, go take the land. I've promised it to you. You will overcome your enemies. You will eat of that land. It will be a land of milk and honey. Go take it.
Yes.
And the people said, I don't think so. They're way too big. They're way too strong. And we're way too weak. All those things were true. But God said, go take it. I'm giving it to you.
Yeah, that's right.
But they didn't believe God. And will you please think for just a moment of how severe the consequences were for the people who did not believe God? They did not enter into God's rest into the land of Canaan. They were forbidden access, and they would all die in the wilderness.
Yeah.
because they failed to believe God. You know, in Romans chapter 11, it talks about the nation of Israel there again. And in verse number 20, let me find that text. In verse number 20, it says, well, because of unbelief, they, the people of Israel, were broken off, and thou, the Gentiles, standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Here in Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, God is dealing with the nation of Israel. Chapter 9 talks about their past and how God chose them as a nation. And throughout most of human history, the nation through which God worked was the nation of Israel. But chapters 10 and 11 tells us that they rejected, nationally they rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And as a result of their unbelief, what did God do? He says He cut them off. He broke them off of the vine, and He grafted the Gentiles in. But will you notice again how severe the consequences were for the people of Israel when they didn't believe God? They, the chosen people of God, were broken off, cast off of the vine, and a new group of people, the Gentiles, were grafted in. Unbelief. I want to give you some behaviors this morning that you'll exhibit if you truly believe God. Do you believe God about church attendance? Hebrews chapter 10, it's a passage we're all familiar with. It says, and let us consider one another, verse 24, to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do you believe God? Do you believe what He has to say about church attendance? Do you believe the book of Proverbs when it says iron sharpeneth iron?
Yes, sir.
And so does a friend, his other friend's countenance. I mean, do you believe what the Bible says about that? Do you believe that by coming together as a group of believers that you'll be helped spiritually? Helped by God to mature? Do you believe God whenever He says He has given some pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints? Do you believe that? If you believe that, you'll be faithful.
Amen.
In your church attendance. You'll not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. If you believe God, you'll be in church. Because you will believe and know that you need church. That you need to be around other believers. That you need the preaching of the Word of God. That you need to pray corporately with the other children of God. That's how you'll behave if you believe God. Do you believe God about the Bible? Do you believe Jesus whenever He said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? Do you believe that?
Amen.
Everybody says, yes, I believe that. And we read our Bible 3 times a year. Can I say something to you? If that's all the more you read your Bible, you don't believe God.
Right.
That's just words. Because if you believe what Jesus said, and that is that man shall not live by bread alone, you will esteem this book as important as your Cheerios in the morning. If you truly believe God, you believe that this book is God-breathed.
Amen.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. The same breath that spoke the worlds into existence.
That's right.
If you believe that, I tell you what, you'll certainly highly esteem this book, and you'll cherish your time each and every day in it. Do you believe that the man that meditates in this book day and night shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water? That's what the book of Psalms in chapter 1 says. If you truly believe that, you know what you'll do? You'll get in this book, you'll read it, study it, and you'll meditate it.
Amen.
Meditate on it day and night. Day and night. God told Joshua that if he would meditate on this book day and night, if he'd hide it in his heart, he would find good success. And can I say to you, if you believe what God has said about His Word, you'll be reading and studying this book consistently. Do you believe what God says about child discipline? Who was it, Dr. Spock, that said you shouldn't spank your children? It's bad for their self-esteem. Sure makes them mind, though.
Yes, sir.
God said in Proverbs 13:24, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes immediately." Do you believe God? Do you believe what He says about disciplining children? If you don't spank your children, if you don't beat him with the rod, as it says here, you don't really believe God. You don't believe God. It says if you don't discipline your child, you hate him. And some people say, "Oh, that's a little strong, isn't it?" Then you don't believe God.
Amen.
It says in Proverbs 23:13, "Withhold not correction from the child. If thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die." He shall not die a spiritual death. And maybe you'll even protect him from dying physically. He won't play in the street,
right,
like you told him. And when you find him playing in the street, and you give him a good whooping for it, he doesn't play in the street the next time, and maybe it prevents a car from running him over. Saves his life. "Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell."
Yeah.
Some people don't believe that. They have surmised that they have a better way,
right,
of disciplining their child. They don't believe God. Do you believe God? Do you believe what He has to say about church attendance? Do you believe what He has to say about the Bible? Do you believe what He has to say about disciplining children? Do you believe what God has to say about marriage and divorce? Jesus said, "Have you not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. Therefore God is joined together, let no man put asunder."
Amen.
Christians all over the place would raise their hands and say, "Yes, I believe God." Until they find themselves in the midst of marital problems, and their spouse is such a grump that they don't think that they can live with them anymore. And so what do? Separate, divorce. Because they don't believe God.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe what God has to say about marriage and divorce. They're willing to believe God and trust Him with their eternal soul, but they don't want to believe Him and trust Him with their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe what God has to say about children? "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." You know, we get excited around here when somebody gets pregnant.
Amen.
Even if they already have 7 kids.
Yes, sir. That's right.
We still get excited.
Yeah.
But it's not that way everywhere. I think most of our family members have learned by now not to view each pregnancy in a negative light. But you know, not everybody's like that. One lady my wife works with found out that she was pregnant with a child, and boy, she just gave her a chewing. And how terrible that was. You know, and how all these other kids that we have, how they're going to suffer. I said, you should invite that lady over, is what I told her, to spend a couple days with our children and see if she thinks the same way. Do you believe what God has to say about children? That they're a gift, that they're a blessing, that they are instruments that can be used of God to go into this world and make a difference? Do you believe that? There's a lot of people that don't believe that. Some people have told me, "Well, I'm glad it's you and not me. Glad it's your wife and not me." Well, don't you believe the Bible?
Right.
Children are a gift.
Amen.
That they're a blessing.
Right.
that they're instruments that God gives us to make a difference in this world. Do you believe what God says about drinking and fornicating and cursing? Here in James chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be.
Right.
If you believe what God has to say about cursing, you'll not curse.
Amen. Right.
In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Do you believe that? There's a lot of people that would raise their hand and say, I believe God, and they're living in fornication. They don't believe God. They don't believe God. How do you know? I could tell by the way they live their life. If they believe God, they wouldn't live in fornication. Do you believe what God has to say about liquor? Proverbs 20 and verse 1 says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise.
That's right.
And if you drink liquor, you don't believe God.
Amen.
You don't believe what He says about liquor. Do you believe God? We could go on forever, couldn't we? Truth be told, there are probably areas in our life
right. That
we're not exhibiting faith.
Yes, sir.
We're not exhibiting a belief in God because we are living in a manner that's contrary to the Word of God. Faith is believing God.
Amen.
And genuine faith in God produces obedience. Israel, they didn't enter the promised land, many of them, because of unbelief. As a nation, they were broken off and lost favor with God because of unbelief. What about you? Do you believe God? You know, if you don't believe God in any area of your life, do you realize how severe the consequences will be? I'm not saying that God is going to strike you with lightning today or next week, next month, or even next year. But I'm saying that if you fulfill the works of the flesh, if you follow your flesh, the Bible says it brings destruction. And you know what? I don't care what you think. It will bring destruction in your life. I don't know when. Maybe it's at the judgment seat of Christ where you begin to shed your tears. But I just believe God. And I believe that if we follow the works of the flesh, we'll suffer because of it. If you have been walking in unbelief, I want to say to you, there is hope, because even the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:13, who was before, speaking of himself, a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He persecuted the church of God, oversaw the stoning of Stephen, because he didn't believe God. But he repented of his sin, and he sought forgiveness on the basis of Jesus shedding his blood,
yes,
dying on the cross of Calvary, and coming up out of the grave. And he found forgiveness, and his sins were cleansed, and he became a new man.
Yes, sir.
And he began to walk by faith. Let me ask you one more time. Do you really believe God? Because if you really believe God, you will demonstrate that by the way you live your life. And so you take this message and you take it a step further than I have taken it this morning. And you examine every area of your life and ask yourself, do I really believe God? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for thy word. I pray again that you would use it to help each and every one of us. Lord, I know how easy it is to become discouraged in this life, when so often it appears that we're fighting an enemy that's too large for us to overcome. But God, according to your word, we have already overcome. We are already victors. We're on the winning side. And God, I pray that you would help us to be a people that day by day, moment by moment, walk by faith. Help us to remember the severe consequences to the people of Israel when they didn't believe God. And may we seek to believe you in every area of our life. God, if there are some this morning that are not giving the Word of God its proper place in their life, may they begin to do so today. If there are those who have not placed the local church in its proper place, may they begin to do so today. And Lord, in these other areas that we mentioned briefly, if in any of these areas we are not walking by faith, help us to begin to do so this very day. And Lord, if there's someone here that's not yet saved, they've not been born again, they've not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, might they do so today. So again, God, use the message for thy glory. Use it for the benefit of thy people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.